David is not here. You probably figured that out. I don't think I look much like David. So I think he's filling in for one of the preachers in Tulsa, the church up on Admiral. I forget what it's called. Crosstown. Yeah, Crosstown. Okay. So, yeah, they're doing this. Are we doing a summer series too? Not this year. Okay. But they are doing a summer series. All right. So we're going to talk tonight about time, how to make the most of it, how God can help us make the most of it, and how precious time is. But before we get into that, let's start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you've gathered us here tonight. Thankful that we have your word and that we have this time to study. Thankful that we have the church and we have the fellowship of friends and believers in Christ. We pray, Lord, for your presence. Pray that you'd be with us. Pray that you would bless our study and help us to gain all the wisdom that can be gotten from your word. We pray, Lord, for those who have recently undergone surgeries, Marilyn Pulliam and Donnell, and others who are sick. Pray that you'd be with them and help them to recover. And Lord, we pray for those who are traveling as well. Ask, Lord, that you watch over us and keep us safe always. And all this we ask in your Son's name. Amen. Okay, we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures tonight. And they will be on the screen. If you're not close enough to where you can read the screen, I suggest you move up or have your Bible handy. Everybody, we're ready to go to it. Like I said, we're going to be talking about time. The other day, early morning, I found that I had what seemed like 100 things to do. And all of them were simple. Take out the garbage, start the dishwasher, put clothes in the washer, running them around and trying to get it all done before the grandkids came. And it seemed like when I think of one, I think of another. And then I heard a loud hum. And I thought it was one of those World War II bombers, you know, a B-17. So I ran outside. I always like to go see them if they're flying overhead. And I did that. I ran outside. Looked up in the sky, and it wasn't a bomber. It was five of those fighters, Navy carrier-style fighters. And I watched them until they were completely out of sight. And then I'm like, what was I doing? I couldn't recall. I totally lost track. I was totally sidetracked. But I did do one thing right. Yeah. I prayed. I stopped and prayed. And it turned out that God was with me and he guided me the rest of my day. But I guess my point is that we can often be sidetracked and we can lose track of time. As you see on the screen, time is irreplaceable. Time is also irreversible. Time is a gift from God as well. I don't know. I think we know that, but we don't often think about that and how it's irreplaceable. Can never get back. So tonight I want you to think about two questions and try to answer them. First, is God included in your plans? is the cause of Christ included in your plans? And second, are you making the most of your time? Realizing that time is a gift from God. He's the one that grants it to us. Time is precious. Okay, so we're going to look at many scriptures tonight. And the first one is going to be found in Psalms chapter 9. Verses 10 through 12. It'll be on the screen. If you can't see it on your screen, all I can say to you is move up. Or look at your nook in your Bible. Psalms chapter 90 and verses 10 through 12. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Who wrote that psalm? Anyone have something in your Bible that tells you who wrote that? Moses. Yeah. As best we know, Moses wrote. And notice that he says our days may come to 70 years or perhaps 80. We tend to think that they didn't live very long, but when you compare with us, they did live quite a while. Okay, statistics, and this is from 2019, 2 years ago, the average life expectancy was 78.8, almost 79. 81.4 for females and 76.3 for males. Guys, I don't know what we can do about that. But does that surprise you? Not the fact that males don't live as long as females, but the ages themselves. Do they surprise you? Or is it about what you expected? I don't know about you, but I thought there'd be more. I mean, you hear of people living past 90, some even past 100, and I thought, well, the average must be in the 80s anyway. Okay. Nobody's shocked by that, huh? I don't see any. Okay. So I guess it's just me. But as we can see, that's not a whole lot different from what Moses said, is it? Moses said, up to your 70s and perhaps to your 80s. Okay. But what is Moses' point? What is Moses trying to tell us? We can't predict how long we'll live, can we? So he says, teach us to number our days. What do you mean by that? I got a quiet group. I don't know why. David gets you people to talk. Well, what is the deal? Why can I not get you people to talk? Why can I not get you people to answer questions? Make the most of our time? Yes. Okay. To know that our days are limited? Isn't that what he's saying? Teach us to number our days? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not let them flitter away, pass without accomplishing anything? Yeah. Yeah, I think that's exactly what Moses is saying. Now, do any of us know what day we're going to die? Can any of us predict that? No. No. We can no more predict how long we'll live than we can predict that where the stock market will be a year from now. Or who's going to win the NCAAs a year from now. We can't. We don't have any clue when our days are going to end. And so we have to know that our days are limited and live accordingly. Okay? All right. Any more thoughts on that? All right, let's go to the next one. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 17. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. That is why it said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live. That's the important part there. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Okay. What does Paul mean by darkness and light? When he speaks of light, what is he usually referring to? So where is the light going to come from? Okay. So we're lost in the dark. Where is the light going to come from? Where do we need to be looking for light? Yes. Okay. God's word, right? God's word. Okay.
Well, he makes reference to wisdom and foolishness too, so I think there's some equivalence there. Foolishness would be
Okay. What else do we think, what else is associated with darkness?
Worldliness,
okay. About the devil, okay, the devil and his army, okay, and what does that have to do with managing our time? Okay.
In the Proverbs, Solomon speaks a lot of, he speaks of foolishness and slothfulness in the same way.
Yes, yes. Okay. Okay. What does the devil try to do to us in relation to time? Distract us. Distract us, yeah. Exactly. Isn't that what the devil would like us very much to be distracted, wouldn't he? That's a good thought. Yeah, being watchful. Mm-hmm. What can help us be watchful? Mm-hmm. Okay. So would it be prudent? Would it be wise to start out your day in prayer and with Bible study? Time permitting, yeah. Okay. All right. Yes. Okay. So God, studying God's word, learning from what we study, will help us to use our time wisely. And that's how we can make the most of every opportunity. Yeah, exactly. Very good. All right, let's go to Matthew 6 now. Matthew 6, 31 through 34. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Okay? What would you say is the highest priority for most Americans. Money, okay. What did you say here? Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. Or pleasure seeking for many as well. Mm-hmm. But what does Jesus tell us should be our highest priority? Here. So, kingdom of God. Kingdom of God and all his righteousness. What does he mean by kingdom of God? Okay. Very serious, yes. The kingdom refers to the church, but it also means being a part of the saved, doesn't it? Part of the body of Christ. Okay. Those who are included in the saints, I guess we might say another word for it. And what does he mean by righteousness? Living right?
Okay. So, I mean, he sets a standard for righteousness. So, these days, it seems like everybody has their own definition of what is right or what is just. But God has his own definition, so we need to figure out what God is. His idea of righteousness. Let's see that measure up the best we can.
Okay. That's well said, yeah. Seeking to live as he lived. And, okay. If we're striving to follow his path, that's righteousness. And, okay. Yes. Yeah, where we fail, yes. And notice that he says, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. If you're going to seek something, what is that going to require? Effort. It's not going to come easy, is it? It's going to require effort. Yes. All right. Mm-hmm. You have to go after it. You have to go after it with all your heart. Seek it. Okay. So that's one way we make the most of our time. Okay. Seeking to please him. Seeking righteousness. Seeking his kingdom. Yes, sir? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. I have a couple more scriptures I'd like for us to look at. This is a very interesting passage. James 4, 13 through 17. And James writes, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Is it wrong to make plans? Is it evil to make plans? No. There's nothing wrong with making plans. What's the problem here? These people made plans, said we're going to do this, we're going to go do that, and then thought they was going to carry them out. And what is James condemning here? Exactly. Yeah. They didn't consult with God, did they? They just said, we're going to do this regardless of whether God is with us or not. Okay? They didn't include God in their plans. Yeah, Jim.
This is kind of a question I never thought of this before, but considering verse 17, could it be that they were trying to make plans for the
That's a good point. I don't know. I'll have to give some study to that. Mm-hmm. Then you have committed evil. Yeah. They had a lack of humility, didn't they? I agree with you, Jerry. I think you are going right down the right path. Yeah. But, So the sin was they had not only had they left God out of their plans, they had neglected to do something considering God's will. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. think you hit it right in the nail. So to use our time wisely from this scripture, we need to consult with God, don't we? And whatever God has laid out for us, we need to follow through on it. Okay? And that's exactly what Solomon tells us in our next scripture. Okay. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verses 3 and 4, and then we'll also read verse 9. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. And then verse 9, in their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Okay, so what does Solomon tell us to do here? I'm sorry. How can we ensure, though, that God will lead us in the right direction? God is in the right direction. Okay. If we're including God in our plans, won't he work it out to the best? Okay. Let me read what the NLT, the New Living Translation, how it translates this. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. The Lord has made everything for his own purpose, even the wicked for a day of disaster. We can make our plans, this is verse 9, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Okay. I think that verse 3 is a key part, though. Commit your actions to the Lord. Commit your way, the way you choose, to the Lord. Okay, so what I'm suggesting is that we give careful consideration to what God wants us to do, how God wants us to spend our day, okay? And then commit, once He has given us guidance, commit to it. Okay? I think that's what He's trying to say there. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Commit whatever you do to the Lord. Okay. Now, granted, we have jobs to accomplish. And we have work to accomplish. So we can't spend all our time reading or studying or doing good deeds. Okay. But we can still accomplish God's will while we're working. Okay. Can we not? Those of you who are still working, I'm retired, so I have more time for, like, helping a neighbor out or sending a note. Those of you still working, help me out. What can you do? How can you commit to the Lord?
Be an example.
Be an example, yes. Okay. Yes, Edwin. So we want to be a good example. First of all, we want to be a good example of what a Christian ought to be and live the Christian life. Okay? Not just talk it, but live it. Right? Okay. So that way we are committing our days to the Lord. Okay? And now notice in verse 4 that he says that we worked out to his proper end. What do some of the other versions say? Okay. The Lord has made everything for His own purposes, accomplish His purpose, accomplish His will. Okay. We commit to Him, He's going to work it out to His will. In his time, yeah. Very good. Very good. Okay. Okay, so we got less than 5 minutes. How can we sum this up? Well, first of all, we want to consult with God as we start out our day, don't we? So with God. First, start our day out with prayer, right? Isn't that a good way to start? Start with our day with God. And then give careful consideration to what we're going to do that day. Okay. How can we make this day a part of God's will? How can we make this a part of God's cause for Christ? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Time is precious, isn't it? And we have to give careful thought on how we use that time. How can we make the most of it and still please God? What would God have us do with that time? So I'm suggesting start your day with prayer and give careful thought as to how you can serve God during that day and during the coming week and during your life. Okay? And if God is with you, and if you're praying, you're striving to live His way, He will be with you. And as it says here, He will guide your steps. He will guide your steps. Okay. Commit to the Lord. That's what He's telling us in verse 3. Commit to Him. Commit our time. Commit our day. All that we have to Him. All right, anybody got any closing thoughts? Okay. I did have another scripture, but we're out of time. When you go home, look at Psalms 92 and verses 12 through 15. Psalms 92, verses 12 through 15. Thank you.